So today we're here with Major League Rugby, Atlanta franchise, Atlanta Rugby, Rugby ATL.
There you go.
Yep. And you guys can just introduce yourself. Tell us a little bit about...
He gave you a highlight of all the keywords that you're going to want to use for the internet before he gave your name.
That's it.
My name is Kevin McCory. I am vice president for Rugby ATL. Basically handle all of the business efforts that we have. Got my right-hand woman here who helps me execute on pretty much everything from community to partnerships to marketing, game day facilities, operations. So very happy to be here and enjoying our launch on Burn the Ship.
Yeah. No, this is super exciting. Thank you guys for having us. So my name is Peyton Fenskalk-Fike. I am the operations manager for Rugby ATL. You'll usually see me walking around with some sort of notebook, making sure I write down everything this guy says. So we actually follow up on that. Mm-hmm. And that's pretty much my role as operations manager. No, I'm kidding. But it's been awesome, being a part of it. Yeah, no, I'm playing it down a lot. But anyways, been great to be a part of Rugby ATL, especially from, going through everything with the pandemic and seeing how we're coming out of it in 2021. Excited to, put all the hard work that we've been putting into it for the past year. Really, it's been mostly me and Kevin kind of working together since last March. So we're about a year's work in and ready to see it take off.
So take me through what it looks like to start a franchise of a professional sports team during COVID. What does that look like? Like what was unique about it?
Well, it started a little bit before COVID. Rugby ATL got off the ground in 2019. And I think the first thing that any successful franchise, whether it's sports or, whatever, retail, tech, anything, there needs to be an influential figure that's at the top of that. And the reasons that you go into business, one, to be successful, but what is that definition of success? Our owner, Marcus Calloway, is one of the biggest, if not the biggest, title lawyer in the Southeast. And he's a very competitive person, but also a very shrewd businessman, very successful, but also one of the most philanthropic individuals that I know. And when he wanted to launch a rugby team, it was, not just winning on the field and winning games, because he is competitive, but making sure that he had an impact on the personal growth of the community, whether that's the individual or affecting small businesses, but providing opportunities and resources to everybody to grow. And I think that's something that's very much in line with the values of rugby, why it's, able to fit all different types of cultures and identities, is because it's a game for everybody. And Marcus is using his platform and success to build this game, but also build up our Southeast community, specifically here in Cobb.
Yeah, that's awesome.
So it starts, when was the first season that you guys were in the league? When does the season run?
So our season, we started last year February 9th. We kicked off against the Utah Warriors, which our men are actually en route to the airport right now to fly out there and play against the Utah Warriors tomorrow at 3:00 Eastern time. You can check it out on Utah Warriors Facebook page. But we started last year in 2020, got 5 games in under our belt, and then the pandemic hit.
Right.
The season runs usually the week after the Super Bowl. So as soon as football ends, right to middle of July and August. This year we pushed back to later start in March.
It's pretty much like exactly a month behind from last year, but
almost exactly. But yeah, she's right. Almost exactly a month. And that was just,
It's all outdoors. So you want to kind of avoid the really cold months, I'm assuming.
Yeah. And you're just, the time for rugby is, you don't want to compete with the other sports. You're not going to compete with football, but, we're in every other team where their cities are. You know, when is it available to play a game outside? That's, you know,
yeah,
takes into effect all of the weather conditions for, you know, Toronto, New York, Boston, everybody else in the league, and that was a perfect fit.
Sure. So, well, with the weather, I mean, I haven't watched. I need to watch more rugby. So here's what I know, because like I said, I was a sports guy as a kid. I know that my impression of it is that it's like a much more manly, like beer drinking version of football. Like that's just my view of it as a kid watching it growing up, and I haven't watched it much in the recent years, but that's what I picture of it as, like real, like short, tight shorts, like tank tops, like just real muscular, like just throw you to the ground, get out of my way. Like that's just how I picture it. Is it? I mean, it is that. I mean, there's more to it, but it's just a much more physical, mano a mano version of football.
That is exactly how it was and has started. Yeah. The game has evolved so much since then. But yeah, I would say for the early stages of American rugby in the 80s and 90s, that was definitely, you hit the nail on the head. It was a, you know, college fraternities.
Yeah. Drinking. I think, yeah, every single story. Animal House. If you ask anybody, oh, hey, how'd you get involved with rugby, or, you know, how'd you learn about it, whatever. A mate of mine, you know, back in college, he just was doing, you know, club league, whatever, asked me to come out, and we pretty much just drank before something, tackled a few guys, you know, went out again after. It was like a very social sport, and it's cool seeing it be so competitive now. But that's usually how the story goes with those people. It's interesting.
The way the game is taken off here in the States, and the people that are really involved with growing the game, these men and even the women, and the incredible advancement that they've had with the Women's Eagles and everything like that, they are true professionals. These guys are, you know, show up in the morning, they're in the training room, they're eating high performance meals, they're going to lift after, they're watching film. I mean, they are in a high performance environment throughout the whole week. And then when they're not on their own time, they're still making sure that, you know, they maintain, you know, what are they doing right? Are they going to sleep on time? What are they putting in their bodies? Like these people that are the pioneers for this launch of Major League Rugby and, you know, the Women's Premier League and the success of our national teams as we continue to grow. You know, kudos to them with the work that they put in on a daily basis, because it is their life.
Yeah,
absolutely. I mean, from what you describe, and I picture it like that too, that it's,
yeah, me too.
It's basically, it's like if you were in the NFL or you're in MLB, or if you were in any other professional sports league, you're basically training all year. I mean, you may get a little break like in between seasons where you kind of relax, but you're in the weight room all the time. You're training all the time. I mean, it's a full-time thing.
And rugby really does go year-round, too. So, like, football here, it'll go through fall towards, you know, where winter starts catching up to us. But rugby, gosh, I mean, it'll end in, what, July, August this year for the season. But there's going to be another season probably after that in between where the guys are going, you know, all over the world to also play for other clubs as well to, you know, make sure that they're keeping up with themselves in the off season. It's really their lives. Yeah. They do it all year long.
No, when Major League Rugby ends in August, a lot of these guys, and there's a handful of our guys that are in the USA pool, and there's two of our players, Matt Eaton and Connor Keyes, who are in the Canadian national team pool, and our captain, Matt Eaton, is a two-time Canadian national team player of the year. Soon as MLR ends, these guys are going right into their international, you know, back to their international squads and competing internationally. So it does go full round, and you know these guys aren't, you know, making the millions that some of these other sports teams are doing it, but they're putting in the same amount of effort and time.
Well, and they're every bit as talented. Their sport just doesn't have the recognition yet.
Not yet.
But it's growing.
But that's why we need Burn the Ship to help us elevate that platform.
That's right.
I was going to ask you guys, who does it the best? Like, who has the strongest brand in the MLR? Like, who? What Rugby kind of ATL. Following?
Yeah.
What kind of following is developed by some of those people that have been around longer, though?
So, Major League Rugby kicked off in 2017. And now we're going into the fourth installment of the competition. You know, NOLA Gold was part of the original foundation. You know, their leadership over there, Tim Falcon and Nate Osborne and Fitzy, their general manager, have done a great job in actually building a franchise that's been able to sustain. Same thing with, you know, the likes of the San Diego Legion and the Seattle Seawolves, who have done a great job in back-to-back MLR champions. So they do the standard of the league, and I would certainly have to say right now is Seattle. Yeah. The Seawolves and what they've been able to do over there, and growing a fan base and a consistent sellout of 4,000 when they're able to, obviously, and the approach that they had to growing the game in that community was great, but certainly going to back ourselves here in, once we get an actual year and the fans can really see, you know, what this game's about, the mission that we have in terms of, you know, why we're doing this and why Marcus Calloway, you know, started this team and what we're doing inside of the community to maintain the success that we've had in terms of a following. You know, right now we're at a 67% uptick in season ticket holders from last year.
That's massive.
And we haven't played a game in a year. Why is that? It's because the people that are, you know, finding out who we are and who these guys are and the personalities that are behind the players and, you know, what they're doing on a weekly basis to get out in the community and give back.
Well, you probably have another advantage as well, barring there being a professional team in Florida or Texas, but we're probably the most open. You know, you probably have the most, you know, functionality to actually be a team and continue to grow that brand compared to some other organizations. For sure.
Yeah, so I was actually going to kind of mention that as well. You know, just being not only, I mean, Atlanta in general, I think we have a leg up just with the Atlanta sport culture. It doesn't matter, you know, how well they're doing, and hopefully we're going to be the team that changes that, or, you know, what have you. Atlanta fans are Atlanta sport fans. It doesn't matter. You're not just like an Atlanta Falcon fan. You're not just a Braves fan. You are an Atlanta fan. So I think Rugby ATL, you know, compared to the other regions and hotspots of the U.S. where MLR or Major League Rugby is, Atlanta has a culture that I personally believe, and I don't want to seem biased, but I mean, we have an amazing sports culture here. And then, you know, not only just being in Atlanta, but being the only team in the six states of the Southeast region, we're lucky to be able to, you know, spread our arms and reach out to those different communities and, you know, make sure that, you know, Rugby ATL is their team, and you know, spreading our core values up to those different areas like North Carolina.
Well, it gives you a huge market. I mean, it gives you a lot of people to reach. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, and you know, when we talk about, you know, the on the field success of, you know, or what we expect, you know, we have 13 members of our organization that have represented the United States internationally. You know, a handful of collegiate All-Americans, two-time, you know, Canadian national team players, people that have played Super Rugby. And, you know, we're led by the efforts of Scott Lawrence, who's our general manager and head coach. Scott is, he is a former Eagle. He played for the U.S. He's coached for the U.S. He's won multiple national championships at Life University with the guys that are now playing here. So the evolution of the game specifically in the Southeast, but, you know, when you talk about a competitive advantage of Rugby ATL, you combine the, you know, the success of Marcus Calloway with providing the opportunities that and the resources that these guys need to be professionals, with the mindset, the mentality, and the culture that Scott Lawrence and Blake Bradford and now Stevie Brett bring to the table with developing these young professionals. You know, we're practicing what we preach, and, you know, we really believe in where Scott Lawrence and his, and this team are going to take Major League Rugby by surprise here in season 4.
Oh, it sounds like a total package. I mean, you go into it expecting to win the championship. I mean, you expect nothing less than that.
Yeah, we're in it to win it.
Yeah, of course. Of course. So where are the games played? Is it different places or is it always in the same place?
So our home games are at Life University this year. We have a great relationship with Life University.
I think they're the number one ranked rugby.
They are
college program consistently.
Yeah, I think they've won like four of the last five Division I A national championships. Yeah,
they're the Alabama of
pretty much
of rugby.
Yeah,
which is nuts.
Yeah, I think I had heard that. Yeah,
and that was another thing with the increased following. We were set up on a rich tradition of rugby here. It's not just Life University too. You know, they have a great prowess in Division I A, and they've been doing it for forever. And but Kennesaw State has a very strong Division I AA program that, you know, made themselves into the national playoffs last year. So there's
a pipeline right there.
Yeah, it's a very rich ecosystem.
We talk about the pipeline and Pathway 404, but also the women's side. You got the Atlanta Harlequins, which is the women's version of Major League Rugby, and they play in the Women's Premier League. There's five USA Women's Eagles that are right in Atlanta, and a couple Falcons who, you know, are always coming out and, you know, teaching the kids. So when we do go out in the community and we talk about that pipeline, that pathway to becoming a professional men or women's, or, you know, representing the United States internationally, when we go out and we do these community efforts, they are learning from people who have worn the red, white, and blue, play for Rugby ATL. They are the professionals. They've done it, and they're the first examples of it, and these kids get to benefit from that. And, you know, that's something that a lot of other sports don't offer, is you can go, you know, obviously in regular times, you can go touch and feel these professionals. Like, that personability of this game is...
The accessibility's there.
Yeah.
What, so you guys are, I mean, that community involvement is a big deal.
Huge.
I mean, that is, you hear about it all the time. Like, people want to have programs to take their kids to. And
especially now.
Childhood obesity. I mean, it's rampant in America. Like, it's a big, huge, it's a health epidemic. Kids need things to do. They need to be able to get out and play and not be on a screen. Sitting on the couch.
I think that's huge. And I think our responsibility, one is like, to be great partners to small business here in the community. And everybody talks about getting, you know, back to business, right? And it's a big part of our chemical makeup is to be a good a partner to our community. But there's a very big importance of getting kids back to sports, getting kids outside, getting kids playing again, right? Yeah. The lessons that sports are able to teach you. Leadership, communication, working well with others, working hard. Those are all the things that are going to make you successful on the field, but as you enter into the business front. And he's pulling up a great, you know, pathway to become an Eagle. This is something that we've worked very hard on, and, you know.
So the Eagles, that's the United States, the national teams.
That is the national team.
Yeah.
And so like he said, I mean, it's even just heightened now as – to why this is so important with kids just like sitting inside looking at a computer screen all day, you know, doing schoolwork and,
you know, and there's over 950 colleges that offer rugby as a program, right? So now we have younger kids playing this game, right? And that's going to make us better at, you know, the national level when kids are playing the game for 10, 15 years before they get into college. But now you have an opportunity for these kids that might not have gone to college to play.
Sure.
Division I football or Division I baseball or hockey, they can commit to, you know, rugby at an early age, especially the young girls, going to school, getting an education, and then going into the workforce with 10, 15 years experience that every company looks for in their next hire. Can you work well with others? Can you communicate? Are you self-driven to accomplish a task?
Yeah, exactly. It's cool to be able to be a part of, you know, setting up the future for the sport. I know I personally didn't play rugby, just more associated with it. But I mean, I don't want to speak for Kevin, but I'm sure 5-10 years ago, like this was just like kind of a dream, you know, being in a facility like this, having a professional rugby team in America and having the opportunity to play for a professional rugby team was really just a thought. And now that it's here, I could only imagine what's going to happen, you know, in the next 5-10 years from now.
Sure. So for the kids that are, for the parents of kids that are thinking of playing, what, as far as like, not like risk of injury, but like, what is it? Does it compare more to like a soccer or more to a football? Or is it a really a true hybrid of the two?
I think it's a true hybrid of the two. I think there's a lot more safety around the contact area.
So they wear, they do wear soft helmets?
No.
Or
they,
no?
They,
no?
You don't have to. Scrum cap is what they call it.
It's,
yeah.
It's like basically like an old school, like a boxing helmet kind of deal, like with the open sides, not like that.
No. You're allowed to wear like a scrum cap. It's very similar for the guys that do.
Yeah.
The soft pads on the ears to prevent. The ones that do wear it, it's very much like that.
It's like a sparring helmet.
Almost, yeah.
Yeah.
Not as thick, but yes, it's very much like a sparring helmet. But
nobody wears that.
Nobody does.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, do you get made fun of if you wear one?
No. The way the heightened advancement around you know, head safety, and I think that's the biggest difference between rugby and football, and why you don't see the level of concussions that they do is because they tackle differently.
We were reading about that last time we talked. Me and Jay were when you left there. The amount of injuries to like your lower extremities, ankles and knees and stuff.
I mean, look at these.
Is similar.
Yeah.
The amount of head injuries is like 1,000 to 1 in football to rugby.
Yeah. They just don't.
Their heads just don't meet.
You're just not trying to blow people up like that. Yeah. Football has that as a different mentality of like, I'm trying to hurt, like that old school football mentality of like,
fun too.
Exactly.
I'm trying to go really hit this guy as hard as I can.
You put pads on, you know, an 18-year-old kid. Come on.
Right. Like
that's, I'm going to go 10 times harder. So,
well, I mean, the goal here is to score points by getting down the field, not to inflict harm on the guy. I'm trying to get the ball away so I can go the other way.
And it's continuous. Exactly.
This is almost more disrespectful though, because if you see it's all like these brutal, like stiff arm to your esophagus and throw you like 6 feet.
It's like Krav Maga.
Not
so
good.
So you are going to get the knees and the ankles and that you're going to still get some of those same types of injuries just by virtue of running around. You're cutting, you're going to get ACLs, you're going to get that stuff.
These are 250-pound prime athletes that are running full bore into each other.
Oh, yeah.
The only difference is, going back to your point, is you're cognizant of where your head's going into contact because you don't have a helmet on that you can think like I'm invincible.
Another thing is the lateral is so, I don't know if that's a term for it in rugby, but the pitch lateral is so much, you have to run with your head up. You know what I mean? You have to run with awareness. And you have to, as a tackler, be aware of the ball is going to move away from me if I commit.
Yeah, because you don't have 5 guys blocking for you.
So it's a little bit, you can't just get full head of steam downfield or you look like a fool. Look at that one. That one right there is just
Matthew Corroy with a big old step. And that's the reason that you're seeing a heavy amount of contact too is,
well, it's highlights.
That and they've been playing again, practicing against each other for 2.5 weeks. This was their first shot at hitting each other in a real competition. So this is photos of our inter squad scrimmage from last week, or video.
That's awesome.
And shout out to
this is your own team.
Yeah, they're going after
Rufus. Running through people's faces on your own team.
Shout out to Neil for that awesome video. But these guys are ready to go. I mean, they've had a year. Most of these guys are Captain Matt Heaton right there. He's had a year to think about, you know, what he could have done better as a leader.
He looks like he slams Guinness.
Animal.
It looks like he slams Guinness for breakfast.
That too.
God, who is who is like the guy? Who is the LeBron James of MLR?
The LeBron James of MLR.
One of those Seattle guys.
There's a plethora of really talented.
I want to know who is the best, and also even if you got to give me a little bit of a list there, I get it. Okay. You're an enthusiast. We can't pick a team here. It's okay. If you need to give a list there, who is the most popular as well?
Ooh. Most popular. I think the most popular on our team would be Kurt Coleman.
Yeah, we got Kurt.
Who's right there. Former super rugby player, came over here.
South Africa.
South Africa, yep. You got Dwayne, Big Dwayne over there. Tay.
Yeah, those are some little guys.
Yeah, very.
Super small.
Right.
All medium sized basketball jerseys.
Yeah. I think those are smalls just to make them look a little bigger. I would definitely say Kurt is one of the more popular
for us. I mean, across
socially.
Across the league, you got, guys like Ben Foden who have played or up in New York.
Look him up on Instagram. What did you say his name was?
Ben Foden.
Ben Foden. I'm just trying to understand what kind of following some of these people have.
Is that right?
Yep, that's him.
Well, so I mean, it seems kind of like a lot of people bring their own following with them too.
I hope he just got married, because if that's him and his like wife right here, a girl, and not a picture of him playing rugby, then I don't take
those. Are right. some of the guys that
he just went down on the list for me.
Represent the United States up there. You got guys like Dylan Fawcett and Cam Dolan, who's Cam Dolan is probably one of the bigger names for down in New Orleans. You got guys like Nate Augsburger over in San Diego, and Chance Wingluski's Eagle number 531. He plays for us. He's a young buck, but he's got an opportunity to be one of the most kept players ever in U.S. history. He's made his debut last year in Aviva against Ireland. I think 6 caps now. But all of these guys, especially the U.S. guys that are being developed in all these teams across the league.
This guy is absolutely skating on people.
Skating.
I mean, he's out of there.
Yeah. So these are fun to watch.
So it's basically... what are the countries that are the dominant... Like, on the world scene, what is the... Because, I mean, you have players that are coming... I picture it being very much like the soccer, where you've got people who go, like you described, people go play for their national teams in the off season, and then they come back and play for their club teams during, in between. Mm-hmm. So, you said Canada, you got some U.S. players in the league. Are there European and Australia, South Africa? Are some of those players that live here, do they play in the league, or like
South
Africa's? I mean, specifically for our team, I mean, I think it goes down to just being like, players being able to relate to each other. They just kind of gel within certain cultures. But, South Africa is a very big, predominant country, especially on our team. But South Africa, Ireland, Australia, New Zealand, all across the UK. Gosh, they're from everywhere.
Yeah.
And I think that's just me personally. It's the best part about working in this sport, or just being involved in this sport, is the cultures and the different people and, the accents. It's just, it's awesome being able to kind of like expand your horizons, and it really opens your eyes up to, what else is out there in the world. And, it's the coolest sport for that reason. Just having so many different personalities and so many different cultures.
Is it an Olympic sport as well?
Mm-hmm.
It is. Is it just a world championship?
It is
an Olympic.
So there's different versions of it. We are like rugby union, which is 15, so 15 versus 15 on the field. And then there's also sevens, where it's 7v7, basically. And the Olympic team is sevens, so 15s is not in the Olympics right now. Sevens is. Our sevens team is popping for sure. We're pretty good on the national level.
They play on the same size field?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh yeah. It's a lot of running.
Very different strategy.
Yeah. I think that's why.
Completely different game.
I think that's why it kind of goes over so well.
The average weight of those guys is like 30 pounds less than the average.
Yeah. They've got to be quick. I think
it's a different game. Same atmosphere. The sevens is rowdy, but going back to your point of like, who's the tiers right now? The standard is, New Zealand, the All Blacks. You got guys, Wales,
South
and
Africa.
England, and Wales is the reigning World Cup, champion. So those are like the tier one nations. USA Rugby right now is considered a tier two nation. And part of the development, or, the overarching goal for this league, is to make these tier two nations better, right? Mm-hmm. So why was, the big blow up of the MLS in 94, right, was fueled by us having the World Cup here, right? And now you have, you know, the stage of Major League Rugby and getting the young kids to play, and that, you know, everybody in the 90s was playing soccer, right?
Right.
And well, everybody in 2021 through 2030, you know, hopefully we get all those kids playing, you know, rugby.
Yeah.
There's been such a massive increase, too, in the numbers that we've been seeing with people or youth specifically getting involved in rugby as well.
When you have like guys like David Beckham coming in at the back end of their career to play here in the MLS, right? And, you know, that's kind of where some of these players now, like, you know, LA just signed Ashley Cooper and, you know, consistently, you know, been on the international stage for Australia and now comes over and, yeah, they're finishing their careers here in an exciting time because, you know, Americans don't do anything small, right? So if we're going to commit to rugby, we're going bigger, we're staying home. Yeah. And I think that where you see these big names from other countries buying into Major League Rugby and the opportunity to come here, live in the United States, you know, have their little taste of the American dream, is definitely a positive as to where this game is going to take off here in the States over the next couple of years.
Well, it speeds it up for sure. Definitely. Makes it go faster.
Yeah. Yeah, marketability of guys like that, you know, and you saw that, you know, some of these other guys that have been doing it for a year, they're following. They bring that following over here. Mm-hmm. They get excited. They get their communities excited. And then the communities start to really understand what the game is. And she mentioned before, you know, well, Atlanta has a ton of expats, right? And we're continually... You talk about all these migrations of where these other, you know, people are coming from and the cities that they're going to. Atlanta's, you know, I think 8 on, you know, the depth chart of where people are relocating to. And, you know, a lot of these people are coming in and they're bringing their baseball team with them. They're bringing their football team with them, mm-hmm, or their college team. What they're not bringing with them is their rugby team. Yeah. And what we can do is, you know, this is how you can assimilate to Atlanta, our culture, buy in right now.
It's a rite of passage. Yep. You have to get an ATL rugby tattoo.
Exactly.
Yeah, on your ankle.
Yeah, yep, that's fine.
Yep, exactly. Yeah. Jump on the bandwagon. We're accepting all members. Yeah.
So yeah. What? How do you get? I mean, you guys are. I'm sure you're doing this already, but like to build that pipeline at the very low level up through like that. That pipeline that he had up on the screen. Do you partner with youth organizations or do you just give them like operational support? Like do you teach the coaches
winter
skills?
It's
all
it's,
those things.
It's all of all it. Of it. So yeah. Last year we were able to, we've connected with Atlanta Youth Rugby, and what Rebecca Martin and Anton Forbes are doing over there is fantastic. And part of our Pathway 404, which is a non-for-profit that we've also launched with the premise of providing opportunities and resources to our underserved communities. Marcus Calloway, you know, donated $25,000 into launching 2 inner city programs alongside Atlanta Youth Rugby. You know, we partnered with like the Roswell Rebels, and we're really doing this, you know, how do you run a club? How do you, you know, best practices for coaching, you know, providing an extra set of balls or whatnot for the kids to play with. Is huge. We've done multiple collegiate camps where we bring in college kids. How do you train like a professional? Putting them in a professional training environment to help have them learn the game, but also outside of the athletic part of it, right? How are you lifting? Those little things,
nutritional facts about, you know, what fuels your body.
All these things that these kids don't know that they're doing by themselves that they think is right, coming in and fine-tuning it, right? The same thing with, you know, for example, we had a collegiate camp, right? How do you train like a professional athlete on the field, but also how do you train like a professional athlete off the field? Mm-hmm. What are you putting into your body? You know, yes, you spent 2.5 hours in the gym, but did you know that you have to spend 2.5 hours recovering?
Mm-hmm.
How do you recover? How do
injury
you,
prevention.
Exactly. How everything. Do you eat on, you know, a high performance diet at the local campus cafeteria? There's all these things that you can be doing on top of the educational part of it. Like everything we do is fueled towards developing well-rounded individuals, right? Mm-hmm. You're learning how to be a better professional on the field, but, you know, how are you developing yourself off of it with, you know, whether it's mental focus or, you know, job opportunities or things within the community or educational resources that might help somebody get into to a local university or, you know, ideally go play on a scholarship to somewhere that's competing on the national stage.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So what is, so businesses, so what are they like that? I'm sure that you guys are always looking for, whether it be corporate sponsors or businesses that are, have like-minded goals that want to get involved, that, you know, they see what your mission is and they say, we like all of those things. We want to do that too. What are the opportunities for them to get involved in different ways?
I think everything that we look for in all of our partners, everybody that we bring into the organization is, when we bring them in, we're an extension of your brand, who you are, and the same, and vice versa, right? You know, whether you're a rugby enthusiast and want to be a part of growing Rugby ATL, those partners have, you know, a plethora of opportunities between broadcast and signage and jersey placement and all those other things that you see on just a, you know, partnership level or sponsorship level. Mm-hmm. But those other people that really buy into what this game can bring in terms of developing self-sustaining leaders in the community, mm-hmm. you know, providing us those resources to help us fund our academic initiatives and working with, you know, inner city rugby programs and Cobb County cities and Marietta City Schools to, you know, infuse rugby and the values of rugby, and providing all those kids opportunities to pick up a game and make friends across the entire greater Atlanta metropolitan area. I mean, yeah. Rugby is, it's a game for all different shapes and sizes. It's one of the most inclusive sports. It transcends boundaries. It's all over the world. Mm-hmm. And the more and more people that are exposed to that and helping us, you know, provide that exposure and provide those, you know, whether it's fields, balls, jerseys, anything like that, can really change lives.
It definitely goes deeper than just like the tangible assets that we offer. Like you mentioned, like the jersey placement or, you know, on-field signage or, you know, being a vendor at our games. Even those people who we work with, we want it to be something impactful in the community. You know, so digging a little deeper with those people or small businesses or even, you know, corporate companies all across the world, just being able to provide those opportunities that are a little bit deeper than just like a physical asset that you can see is really the biggest opportunity that we do offer with rugby.
And that's the thing is like, you know, every partner that we've had and have, like they have, you know, they get recognition on, you know, our socials or whatever like that. But the real value of their relationship is they all have a contributing factor into helping us with our bigger arching goal, right? So, you know, our hotel partner helping out, you know, our fuel our collegiate camps, our official caterer providing opportunities and meals for young kids, you know, after they get it after a training session or things like that. So they all, the way we've developed our partnerships and the partners that we have are all bought in on what we're doing in the community, more so excited about, you know, how many people are going to see, you know, their brand on our jersey.
Yeah, shoulder to shoulder. We're doing it together.
Yeah, we're exactly. doing it together.
Exactly.
So what I'm taking away from what you just told me is that I can get my logo on the jersey, and we'll talk about it. We'll talk about a price after. What if you called it what if it was the Pirates instead of the Rattlers, or we come up with a nautical theme, maybe the Buccaneers. Yeah. We'll talk about that.
We could talk about
that.
There's
a price.
There is a price.
But I could get a logo on the, like maybe like just on the bottom corner, like just down at the bottom.
Jersey right placement, in the middle of the chest. Big. You never know.
Yeah. Walking billboards.
Now the salespeople are going to take
over.
Yeah,
okay, we can.
Yeah.
No,
I think that's you getting sold.
There's opportunities for everybody. I mean, depending on what your outlook is, what your mission is, how you reach, you know, if you want to talk about the business aspect of it, you know, what is it that you're looking for out of your brand awareness? Is it lead generation? Is it exposure of your brand? Like, you know, we can sit down with anybody, you know, and talk about, you know, are you looking for more views? Well, you know, we have the, you know, fastest growing social media, you know, platform in the league, or, sure, you know, you're looking for, you know, new leads. Well, you know, you're a closer, right? And well, why don't you grab a couple tickets to the game? You can go bring a couple clients there, bring them back to headquarters after, enjoy a little VIP party, close your deal. And we're very creative. You know, whatever is the best extension of your brand, how can we complement that? And that's the value of, you know, the benefit of being a startup.
Yeah, right? Sure. It truly is the coolest part about this job is the creativity and the opportunities that go along with it.
Yeah, every day.
You learn every day.
Every day you're a pioneer. Like every day that we've been in the league and this franchise been around is a new threshold for us.
You get to have those novel ideas every day.
Every
day is an entrepreneurial experience.
And didn't you tell me you guys were going to do like a networking thing too?
Yeah, actually, yeah. We've done a networking event in the past in October, actually. It was a smaller networking event, kind of feeling it out, trying to see how it would go over. Because, I mean, we're a sports business. Why not? Try it out. Pandemic obviously hit, so our product's off the field. Let's try to get people reconnected. Like you said earlier, you haven't been able to shake hands in, you know, however long. So, yeah, networking opportunities. We have a brilliant facility over in Marietta, Georgia, where it's there for us to, you know, connect our partners with other people or other small businesses in the community. Like, we want to be a part of that experience. We want, let's say you had a client come out to a game or you came out to, you know, just a small VIP event and you closed a deal there. Like, Rugby ATL was a part of that.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
essentially the goal.
And I think that's really cool. That's one of the things that, you know, we're very grateful to be members of the Cobb Chamber of Commerce and, working with them and the likes of, you know, Mark Jacobson over at Cumberland Diamond Exchange and everything that he's done to help us integrate with the established leaders of this community to get us to the point where we're at right now is very helpful and beneficial. And the success that we're going to have in making an impact on the community is connecting with the people that are already leaders in this community, that, you know, every successful business person in this Cobb County community is committed to Cobb, committed to, you know, the development of, you know, the economic situation of, you know, getting everybody else out of the pandemic. And, you know, the more and more we're able to connect with those people, those leaders is another, you know, potential opportunity that we can give back to somebody who likely would not have had that. So, you know, we're very grateful for just this opportunity, right? And, you know, who knows, you know, who's listening out there that's like, man, I love rugby. Everywhere you go, you're, you know, six people removed from somebody that played rugby or buys into it. But yeah, I
mean, or somebody that's like, yeah, I love to write checks.
The more I think about it, you said it earlier with camaraderie and like that like kind of that team, not teamwork, but like just that kind
culture.
Of like us vibe. Mm-hmm. I've never ever met someone that was like and had any conversation about anything rugby related and not walked away and been like, that guy was cool. Yeah. I've never met someone where I didn't go away going, that guy was awesome.
Yeah. I mean,
every time.
And we've been talking about rugby for like an hour. How much of it has actually been like, well, you passed backwards and you were.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, this is.
It's all about
people
and culture.
We don't care what the rules are.
Yeah. They're for a good time.
We don't care what the rules are.
I mean, it's awesome.
I don't
like,
even need to know the score.
These guys, it is. I mean, that's.
It's so fun.
Absolutely.
They're like, energy. I wish you knew the score, but that's okay.
That's okay. As long as you had a good time and you're going to come back, that's, I mean, it is an entertainment value of it. Like, it's on Saturday night. The lights are on. These guys are smashing into each other. Music's loud.
Yeah.
Drinks are flowing. Like, all of our 57% of our target market are millennials. They said, we want a college football atmosphere. We want to play on Saturday nights. We want it loud, and that's what we're going to give them. So, and then the camaraderie thing, like, I spend way too much time with her as it is, but like even when we're done working, like, you know, going out to dinner with her and her husband, or, you know, who are we hanging out with? Who are our friends outside of this? Is pretty much everybody in the team.
Yeah. And to that respect, kind of going back to what you were saying about each person that you've met who's just even slightly been involved with rugby. I mean, you go to a game, you might not know what's going on. You turn around and you hear an accent or something and you ask them, you know, well, what are they doing? Or what did the ref say? What's going on? They will sit there and talk your ear off about rugby. It's so new here. So whenever they get the opportunity to be in the atmosphere and with somebody who wants to learn, oh my goodness, you'll learn the whole game.
We have some very dedicated fans in season
rugby fans are rugby fans.
You got like Rian and Rebecca and all these people that are just totally bought into the game.
And we know them all by name.
Yeah. Oh, that's,
they call me on the regular. That's, like, it's awesome.
Yeah, between her and I, we could probably name all 425 season ticket holders that we have.
Oh, yeah.
I think that's cool. One of the
that's
cool.
That's pretty dope.
It's awesome. That's like, cool. You go into the stadium and you see the people that are helping you to launch this community initiative that we have that, it's a rugby team, but it's way more than that. And
can borderline not get my job done on game days. You know, you're just getting pulled everywhere. Payton, how you been doing? I'm like, well, game starting. You're a season ticket holder. You know that. We got to go.
Right.
Yeah. But anyways, it's awesome.
It is great. And just the journey to get here, like she can probably attest to this. Like she met, you know, the job that you have is, you know, you've kept your job because you're the hardest working person at Rugby ETL. But how you got introduced to this was because your husband plays. Like, I've been all over the world because of this game. My friends are all over, in various different teams across the league. You had Dylan Fossen, who's captain up in New York. Nate Augsburger, Cam Dolan, all these guys that I've, you know, lived with in New York when I was trying to play this game super averagely. But everywhere you go, you meet people, and you know, all those experiences that you have, all the job opportunities that I have, the friends that I have right now, the people that are most important in my life are the people that are associated with this game because of the underlying values that come with it. And you said it, like everybody's involved is like, this game's cool. It's right, because we're all real people. Yeah.
We're all super cool.
Yeah.
It's
period.
Awesome. We're all super cool.
I love it.
You guys are works super cool. Like,
we're your friends now, too. Yeah, I was going to say that. When you're like, friends are everybody on the team. I was like,
two more friends.
There you go.
It's perfect. Added two people to your wolf pack.
Yeah, it's literally a wolf pack.
So what is so where do people, like, if someone were to watch this and they want to get involved, what's the best way for them to contact you to get started with getting engaged?
Yeah, definitely reach out to us through our Facebook, Instagram platforms, website. Grab some tickets, come see it for yourself. We play on Saturday nights under the lights. It's a great time. We got ticket packages for every different type of demographic,
price range,
everything. You got a family of four, come out. We got stuff for the kids. Dad, if you want to have a couple drinks while you're at the game, got those too.
I was going to ask you guys, are you guys selling alcohol at the games because you're in the live stadium?
It would be like a sin, I think.
Have to.
We had a kids' night last week where we had the inter-squad scrimmage, so it was mostly focused on getting, you know, youth rugby people to the game. So we didn't really put an emphasis on selling alcohol, and
everybody's like,
"Where's the beers?"
Yeah, I know.
right. Yeah. That was my first question. They kind of go together.
Yeah, they go hand in hand.
Yeah.
What's your handles for your social media, and what's your website?
At RugbyATL, and our website's rugbyatl.rugbyatl. Made it very easy, but for everybody.
Cool.
Yeah. Nice. Rugbyatl.rugby. Cool. Look us up. Yeah, keeping it very simple.
I'm excited to come check it out.
Yeah,
and see
you guys
everything.
Have to.
We're coming.
You guys are making something that's going to provide value in so many different ways. I mean, as a business, as a person, for families, for my kid, it's something that I want to be, you know, involved with. So, you know, that's what we're doing is trying to bring value in as many ways as possible to spread our wings.
No, I think that's.
And I think you guys are doing something so similar.
That sentence right there is everything.
This premise of burn the ship, connecting you know, like-minded business professionals is crucial. I don't know if it's ever been more crucial than right now. Like, helping people get out of this disastrous economic impact that this pandemic has had is incredible. So you guys are pioneers in this. I hope you guys continue to grow. Whether it's somebody that's connected through Rugby ATL or Burn the Ship, you know, the fact that you guys are putting it other people and providing an opportunity for us to give out our platform to connect with somebody that's going to help their business grow, increase their livelihood, potentially give back to our community. That's awesome. Kudos to you guys. You guys are in the same kind of position that we were, or that we are in. You're just a little bit more accelerated. So good on you for getting out of
it. We're all in the business of relationships.
Yeah, yeah, right. Man, that's what it is.
We're all in the business of relationships.
Yeah. Everything else comes after that. It's all about just laying that foundation.
Yeah.
People helping people.
People helping people. And that's, I mean, that's our values. Our first value is people development, right? So developing people, providing them a platform to get better. You only get one chance at this game of life, so might as well make the most of it.
And play rugby.
And play rugby.